This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me today for another 60 minutes of old-time radio drama. We'll start off this week with the Academy Award Theater and Suspicion, their story from October 30th, 1946. After that, it's Have Gun, Will Travel and Winchester Quarantine. That episode aired February 22nd, 1959.
House of Squibb presents Academy Award. Tonight, Cary Grant and Ann Todd in Suspicion. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. For generations, the House of Squibb has been known for the high quality and unfailing dependability of its products, each the result of a never-ending quest for perfection. Today, the great family of Squibb products reflects the tremendous advance of science in its contribution to human health and well-being. The name Squibb stands for progress through research. Squibb is a name you can trust. Tonight, Squibb brings you the thrilling mystery Suspicion, the picture which was nominated in 1941 for 3 Academy Awards. As our star tonight, you will hear Cary Grant, who, as Best Actor of the Year, has twice been nominated for the Academy Award, recreating his original screen role. Appearing with him is the lovely British stage and screen star, Ann Todd. And now, Academy Award.
Made me know the meaning of the word ecstasy when I married Johnny. Oh, I'd heard things about him, that he was careless, which I knew meant carefree, that he was unreliable, which I knew meant he was different from any other man in the world. But naturally, I didn't hear what the looks implied. Well, I wouldn't have cared, even if I'd seen them. The smug looks, the I-told-you-sos, and even the pitying looks from the few who seemed to care.
Well, Mrs. Aysgarth, are you getting used to being a wife?
Oh, darling, it's wonderful.
Yes, well, let's see. It all started at the Hunt Ball, then we got married, then it's kind of a blur.
A blur of Venice, Naples, Capri, Monte Carlo, Nice, Paris, and now this wonderful, heavenly, adorable house. Oh, Johnny, you sure we can afford all this?
Lena, one doesn't talk of money in paradise.
Telegram, sir.
Oh, my, speaking of paradise, let's see who wants to spoil it.
Is it bad news, darling?
No, just from an old friend of mine, stupid fellow. He wants £1,000. You couldn't spare £1,000, could you, dear?
£1,000? What do you want it for?
Hang if I know. Probably because I borrowed it from him.
You borrowed it? Why?
Well, because I was going on a honeymoon with the loveliest girl in the world, and I wanted her to be happy. Was she happy?
But didn't you have any money of your own?
Not a shilling.
Johnny, are you broke?
Oh, monkey face. I've been broke all my life.
I know you didn't marry me for my money. You could have done much better elsewhere. My income will never pay for all this. Never.
Well, what about your father?
Oh, I couldn't ask father or mother. But you wouldn't actually want to live on your wife's allowance, would you?
No, darling. Naturally not.
Well, then.
Well, I suppose if the worst comes to the worst, that is, if there's no other way out, well, I'll probably have to...
What?
Borrow some more.
Johnny, there's going to be no more borrowing or gambling.
What else is there to do?
You've got to go to work.
Work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean put on old clothes, go out with a shovel?
Don't be flippant, darling. There are all sorts of jobs.
Oh, all right, darling. I'm broad-minded. Let's have some tea. Hey, we can make out a list of jobs. You know, I think that'll be fun.
meant so much to me that Johnny took a position. I think you would understand. It seemed to help me push the sneers and the knowing smiles back into the dark. I don't know exactly what Johnny does, but he has a job in the office of a Captain Milbeck, a sort of distant cousin of his. I was at home waiting for Johnny when a stranger called.
I say, you must be old Johnny's wife.
Yes, I am.
Didn't he tell you about me? I'm Beaky.
Beaky? Oh, you're Beaky.
Yeah, that's what they called me in school.
Beaky Thwaite. Oh, I've heard so much about you.
And Johnny told me about you, too. Ran into him at the Newbury races last week.
The races?
Oh, put my foot in it as usual, eh? Didn't he tell you?
Johnny has a job. He couldn't have been at the races. Besides, he stopped betting.
Oh, he has he? Oh, not Johnny. Great lad, eh, what? Well, you mustn't mind him cutting up. That's what makes him Johnny. Besides, he thinks you're a topper. Oh, yes, he does. I think so, too. Hey, what?
Won't you sit down, Mr. Thwaite?
I don't see why not. Is anything wrong?
Well, there were two Queen Anne chairs here this morning before I went out.
They've disappeared, have they?
Apparently.
Were they expensive?
Yes, very. Museum pieces. What's the matter?
Oh, that Johnny, he'll be the death of me yet. Don't you understand?
No, I don't.
I'll give you 20-1, Johnny sold them.
Sold them? What for?
What for? For money, of course. Chap's got to pay his racing bets, hasn't he? And Johnny lost a packet in Newbury.
I don't believe you.
Oh, put my foot in it again, have I? My dear girl, what's your name?
Lena.
My dear Lena, you simply haven't got acquainted with old Johnny. Why, at school there wasn't one chap who's spending money Johnny purloined who didn't forgive him in the end. Why, you'll forgive him anything when you know him better.
Well, Beaky.
Well, well, Obie.
How's my darling monkey face?
Hello, Johnny.
Ask him about the chairs, Oka.
Hey, what are you whispering about, Beaky?
I just want her to ask you about the chairs that disappeared.
Oh, yeah, well, you would. So you two discovered my iniquity, eh? Well, some American chap stopped by. Admired them so much, I just had to let him have them.
Johnny, you're such a wonderful liar.
Yes, well, look, you two. Forget the Inquisition. Now, sit down, both of you. Anywhere.
Lena, wait till you hear it.
Now, shut up, Beaky. Lena, you remember that necklace you admired in the shop window a month ago? Here, it's yours.
Oh, Johnny,
My friends, the Grand National was won today. I happened to have backed the winner. A 10-1 shot, ladies and gentlemen, 10-1, and I had £200 on him.
By Jove, 10-1. Why, that's £2,000.
Oh, that's amazing, Beaky. Hey, monkey face, you're not smiling. Come on, smile.
Where did you get the £200?
Oh, now really, I say, what a question.
Darling, where did you get it?
Well, you know very well there was no America, and I got it for the chairs, of course.
You sold the chairs to gamble all your money on a horse?
Not exactly. You see, I owed some money to the bookies.
Johnny's such a lad.
Now, darling, be practical. Come on, give us a smile.
Yes, come along, old girl. Johnny, you tickle her chin while I make faces.
Think that'll work?
Yes, now, more tickle.
Okay. Any results yet, Beaky?
Not yet, old bean. Wait, I'll make a sound like an owl.
Yeah, let's try that.
Always gets them.
Oh, wait a minute, wait. I forgot something. Here you are. A receipt from a certain shop. Payment in full for a certain pair of Queen Anne chairs. They'll be delivered within the hour.
Oh, look at that, Johnny. She's smiling.
Oh, Johnny.
Here's to the famous Johnny Asgard. Beakers up, brandy to the bottom.
Oh, Johnny, he's choking. Do something.
It's no use, darling. I've seen this happen before. It'll either kill him or go away by itself. I think one of these days it will kill him.
Johnny, Beaky, an old friend of yours. How can you take that attitude? And you sat there and let him drink all the brandy he wanted. Oh, what is the matter with me? Johnny, I do trust you. I do believe in you. But... I met one of the sneering faces today. She made it quite clear that you hadn't given up gambling. She told me she saw you each afternoon at the races. Johnny, perhaps I shouldn't, but I must find out. I must.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Asgard.
Oh, Captain Milbeck, I came to see my husband, but since he isn't here... Well, after all, you are his cousin as well as his employer, and I... Well, I'm just terribly worried.
Yes, I understand that. But on the other hand, I told him I wouldn't prosecute, of course.
I don't understand. What on earth are you talking about?
How did he get away with it? What reason did he give you when I discharged him?
When did you discharge him?
6 weeks ago. We had an unexpected audit, and the account showed a deficit of £2,000. And when I looked into Johnny's records...
Here, look at the photograph of the cliffs, Beaky. We could put the hotel up here.
Perfect.
Then the little houses could go down on the beach there.
Hello, you two. What's going on?
Oh, hello, Monkey Face. Sit down, darling. Beaky and I are organizing a real estate company. We're going to buy up this beautiful piece of land right by the sea.
Well, have you found somebody to put up the money?
Oh, yes.
Who?
Me, old girl.
I see.
Well, the idea is mine. The capital is Beaky's. You see, Beaky borrows against some securities in Paris, and then we issue stock. The whole company, of course, would be in my name. It's very simple.
Does Beaky understand it?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Captain Melvick's on the phone, sir.
Oh. I'll take it in the study. Excuse me for a moment.
Beaky.
Yes, my dear?
You're being unfair to Johnny.
What? Oh, I say, now, that's a hot one. Why, he's president of the whole new thing. He gets a salary. He can write checks.
That's just what I mean.
Well, what's wrong about that? Oh, there you are, old boy. You know, Lena's been telling me that you're a bit soft in the head. Not a good risk and all that rot.
I heard through the door. Well, how about cleaning up, old boy? Nearly time for dinner. You know your room. Better hurry, huh?
Oh, all right. I won't be there.
Well?
Lena, have you any regrets that you married me?
No. Why do you ask that?
And show me the courtesy of not interfering in my affairs.
Johnny, I'm not interfering in your affairs.
You are. And I'm warning you, stop it. You hear? You hear?
Oh, Johnny, please. Please.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. But it's pretty obvious it's no garland of roses to be Mrs. John Aesgarth.
Johnny, do you have any regrets?
Monkey Face, marrying you is the one thing I've never changed my mind about. I want nothing but to spend the rest of my life with you. And if you die first...
Yes? If I die first?
What about you?
I couldn't fall out of love with you if I tried.
Have you tried?
Yes. Today, when I found out about Captain Melvick.
Oh, there. Well, listen to me. If I had the money, I could go ahead with this development. It's really a wonderful spot.
And you think Beaky has the money?
Of course. Ah. Well, I guess that's over.
Over? Why? What's happened?
Nothing's happened. I'm calling the deal off.
Does Beaky know about this?
Not yet.
Here I am, darlings, and ravenous. When do we dine, eh? Personally, old bean, I can't see anything wrong with the scheme. But if you say it's no use going ahead with it, well, then let's go ahead.
Well, Beaky, I'm not going to take the responsibility of calling the whole thing off without proving to you the scheme's no good. Now, you will have to go up there to the cliffs tomorrow and take a look.
Well, old bean, if you say it's no good, that satisfies me.
It should satisfy him. Why does Johnny insist?
However, I would have liked...
What's in his mind? He's desperate for money. If he would sell the chair, embezzle from Captain Melvick, would he stop it? No, that's preposterous. Yet he said, if I were to die...
I say, Johnny, I really don't want to go up there in the morning. It'll be nasty and cold.
Nasty, cold, foggy. Cliffs are high and treacherous. Beaky is no match for Johnny.
Earlier the better. There won't be so much traffic on the road.
Near the cliffs, he'll be alone. Nobody to watch.
I don't like
Beaky will get out of the car, then Johnny.
So we'll
they'll walk near the edge of the cliff. Beaky will peer over. Too near. And suddenly he will... Go over.
I say, getting up for me is murder, old chap. Murder.
No.
Ah! I say, I do believe she's fainted, old bean. Now, whatever do you suppose could be wrong?
Whenever in real life you happen to find yourself in a situation totally strange, you can always count on a bright, winning smile to help you make the friends you need. And a smile that's hard to resist is easy to cultivate when you brush your teeth with Squibb Dental Cream, the refreshing dental cream. It's such a pleasure to use. Your whole mouth awakens to a frosty tang of mint, exhilarating as a fresh October wind from the sea. You'll enjoy the brisk, mouth-refreshing action of Squibb Dental Cream, and watch that smile. See how much of its natural sparkle is revealed when you use Squibb Dental Cream regularly. That's because the polishing agent in Squibb Dental Cream is one of the most effective known to dental science. Safe, soft, and fine. So if you want your smile to do more for you, do more for your smile. Start tomorrow to brush your teeth with Squibb Dental Cream, one of the great family of Squibb products. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Before continuing with part two of Academy Award, we wish to thank RKO Pictures for making this story available. RKO are also the producers of Sister Kenny, starring Rosalind Russell and Alexander Knox. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Award, starring Cary Grant and Ann Todd in Suspicion.
A silly phrase from childhood keeps going through my head. Gruesome shapes and things horrid. Why can't I get Johnny out of my mind? Not the laughing, easygoing Johnny I know, but a sinister Johnny. I got up early, took my car. I drove out to the cliff and found the tire marks of Johnny's car. They led right up to the edge of the cliff. My heart stood still. Where the tire marks ended, the cliff had caved in and was gone. I don't remember how I got home. Johnny, where's Beaky?
Well, hello, my girl. I'm here.
Oh, thank God. Johnny!
Why, Mikey face, you're breaking my bones with that hug. After all, I've only been gone a few hours.
Seems like a thousand.
Seems that way to me, too.
Oh, shut up. It was nothing, Beaky.
Well, I nearly lost my life. Do you call that nothing?
You nearly lost your life?
Yes, I was turning the car near the edge of the cliff.
Was Johnny in the car?
No, he was admiring the view. Well, I was backing up. Backing right up to the edge. If Johnny hadn't seen it and taken a leap and grabbed the brake, well, by Jove, I shouldn't be here.
Johnny saved your life?
He certainly did. Came Johnny close to losing his own, too.
Oh, Johnny. How can I ever tell you what this means to me?
To you?
It meant something to me, too, by Harry. Ought to give a chap a reward, eh, what?
Oh, now it's getting interesting.
Why can't he come to Paris with me? I think old Johnny needs a holiday.
Paris?
Yes, my securities are there. I think I'd better fly over to dissolve the corporation. I'll treat Johnny to the trip.
Well, the cad seems to forget I'm a married man, darling. Then I might toss a few things into a bag and drive as far as London with him. What about that, monkey face?
Oh, ripping. Oh, do let him, monkey, Lena.
Well, I don't see how I can stop him.
Good. Great. Let's pack, old bean.
Mrs. Aysgar?
Yes?
I'm Hodgson, Inspector of the County Police. I understand your husband is not in, madam.
No, he's up in London for a few days.
I believe you know a Mr. Thwaite.
Why, of course, he's a very good friend of my husband.
Well, Mrs. Aysgar, Mr. Thwaite is dead.
Dead?
Died in Paris.
This is such a shock. You see, we knew him.
I'm sorry to have to break it to you, Mrs. Aysgar. It seems Mr. Thwaite was in the company of another gentleman by the name of Albeam or Holbeam. There was some sort of a drinking bet between them. This other gentleman ordered a large beaker of brandy for Mr. Thwaite and then left. Would you or your husband happen to know any friend of Mr. Thwaite's who would answer to a name such as Albeam or Holbeam?
I'm afraid not.
The papers were found on Mr. Thwaite which would indicate that he and your husband had formed a corporation.
My husband had planned a real estate development for Mr. Thwaite. Mr. Thwaite had gone to Paris to dissolve it.
I see. Well, thank you, Mrs. Aysgar. Sorry I had to bother you. When your husband returns, by the way, do you expect him?
This evening, Inspector.
Would you ask him to ring me at the station?
Yes.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Hello? Hogarth Club, London. Oh, may I speak to Mr. Aysgar, please? Yes. Oh, when do you expect him? He left yesterday. Thank you. Oh, it's you.
Yes. So you've heard about Beaky?
Yes. Dead, Johnny, the inspector wants you to phone him.
Captain Melvick phoning, sir.
Oh, yes? Now tell him I got his note. Tell him I'll take care of the matter within 2 weeks, as he requests.
Yes, sir.
The matter?
The debt, Monkey Face. He wants his money.
And you can get it in 2 weeks?
I'm trying. Now, suppose we call it a day.
But, Johnny, you have to call the inspector.
Let's call it a day, darling. I'm tired. Dead tired.
All night I lay awake, my mind whirling with suspicions. And suddenly I remembered Isabel, who was a writer of murder fiction. I remembered Johnny asking her questions a few evenings ago. Unusual questions. Had he followed up those questions? Why did Johnny want to know so much about murder and the ways of committing murder?
Well, since you flattered me by telling me you've already read my latest story, ask me your questions.
Isabel, why did Johnny come to see you?
Well, my dear, Johnny is interested in the way in which we poor writers evolve our little plot. Well, naturally, we talked of so many things.
I see. Did he ask you any particular questions? Questions like, well, unusual ways in which a character might commit a crime?
Well, yes, we did talk of that. You know, Johnny, you can't resist him. He makes you want to tell all your trade secrets.
I see.
Oh, I remember now. Johnny was simply fascinated by one of my pet theories. An untraceable poison.
Oh, was he?
Has Johnny been having nightmares? Talking in his sleep, my dear?
Yes, yes, Isabel. That's it. Nightmares.
Oh, Mrs. Ayscough. This letter just came for Mr. Ayscough. I was going to bring it up.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it to myself.
Yes, ma'am.
Durrential Insurance Company, Manchester. Replying to your inquiry regarding a loan of £2,000 against policy 167895. Regret loan cannot be made. Under terms of policy, payment can only be made in the event of the death of your wife. Event of the death of your wife. Johnny?
Yes, Monkey Face?
I saw Isabel today. I didn't know you were so interested in murder mysteries.
Yes. I borrowed one of her books. Terrible bore, too. There was a lot of muck about using an untraceable poison.
What does that mean, untraceable?
Well, you can't find it on the corpse, so you look high and low.
Yes?
Are you interested in murder, too, dear?
Yes, I'm getting to be.
I had quite an interesting chat with Isabel that day. She thinks I couldn't commit a murder if I tried 100 years. Something in my face. What do you think, darling?
I don't know, Johnny. Johnny, have you finished breakfast?
Yes. Oh, are you speaking to me this morning?
I'm sorry, Johnny. I don't know what got into me last night. I must be developing nerves.
Oh, I don't mind being asked to sleep in my dressing room, even if my wife locks the door between. Some husbands might, but not me.
Oh, really, Johnny? I'm just run down. I think I'd better go down to Mother's for a few days.
She ask you?
Why, yes, I... Yes, she called this morning.
Must have been very early. I didn't hear it. Very well. I'll drive you.
Oh, you needn't drive me. I can take the...
I prefer to drive you. That door on your side keeps springing open. I must get it fixed someday.
Please, do you have to drive so fast?
Great morning for a bit of speed.
Look out!
Shortcut here. Almost missed the turn. Watch that door! Lena, come back here, you crazy fool. Where are you going? Lena!
Oh, Johnny.
Lena, what's got into you?
Let me go, Johnny. Let me go, please.
Oh, stop it, you little fool. Stop it. Now,
Johnny,
listen to me.
Johnny.
How much do you think a man can bear? You turn me out of your room. You go running away to your mother's, and now you cringe as though you hate me. You're my wife, Lena.
I thought...
You almost killed us both back there in the car because you had to pull away when I reached out to save you. Well, you won't have to put up with me anymore.
Johnny. Where are you going, Johnny?
First, I'm driving you on to your mother's.
And then what?
You needn't worry. I'll never bother you again.
You mean you're going to? Is that why you were looking up that poison in Isabel's book? You were going to kill yourself. Oh, Johnny, my darling, no.
Now, don't worry. I saw that was a cheap way out. I'm going back to see it through, Lena. Prison term and everything.
Prison? You mean Milbert? That money you took?
Yes. I can't pay it back. I made a last try to raise the money when I went away with Binky.
To Paris?
No. I went up to Liverpool to borrow on your insurance.
You mean you were in Liverpool when Binky... You didn't go to Paris?
I wish I had. I'd never have let some idiot give poor old Binky that brandy.
Oh, Johnny. I've been such a fool. If only I'd realized. If I'd been as close to you as I should have, you might have confided in me more. But things are going to be different now, Johnny.
People don't change overnight. I'm no good, Lena.
Oh, darling, let's turn back. Go home and see it all through together.
Mm-mm. It won't work. I'm taking you on to your mother's.
It will work. I know it. Let me go back, will you?
You don't belong in this.
But I do. I won't let you shut me out. Please, Johnny. Turn the car around and go home. Please.
No, Lena, no. We're saying goodbye.
I know, Johnny, but it's going to take so many, many years to say goodbye.
Every time you see and hear your favorite picture star, enjoy that something extra that only the best can bring. For generations, people have felt that way about the House of Squibb. They expect more from any Squibb product, and they get more. There's a plus in Squibb Dental Cream, for example, that millions are enjoying every day. For it's more than a completely safe and effective aid in cleaning your teeth. Squibb Dental Cream is refreshment in a tube, a frosty, minty flavor sensation. Whenever you want to feel your best and look your best, wake up your mouth with Squibb Dental Cream. Use it before every engagement for a breath of freshness in your smile. Get Squibb Dental Cream tomorrow. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring Olivia de Havilland in Cheers for Miss Bishop. Today's performance of Suspicion was written for radio by Frank Wilson with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lee Stevens. Our producer-director is Dee Engelbach. Cary Grant may currently be seen in RKO's Alfred Hitchcock production, Notorious. And Todd appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick and may soon be seen in the Selznick production, The Paradigm Case. Nigel Bruce was unable to appear tonight because of illness. The part of Vicky on tonight's performance was played by Carl Harbert. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you goodnight until next Wednesday at the same time when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award, presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Men want me to leave. You'll have to make me. Now, who's going to be the first to try?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Paladin.
Help me with these bags, will you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Paladin. You go away again so soon?
It seems Mr. Edgar Potts in Tucson needs my services.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know Mr. Potts. He is not a good man, but he's a rich one.
Oh, you make lots of money, eh, Mr. Paladin?
Well, that's my plan. Look, hey, boy, this came up very suddenly. I've had to cancel my engagements for this week. Will you see that these notes are delivered?
Oh, yes, sir. Let me see. Missy Dilly Clark, Kitty O'Connor, Adelaide Smith, Jesse Donahue, Francesca Valise, Mabel Hart, and Major John B. Culpepper.
Thursdays, I play chess.
Even if you've had embarrassing dandruff for years, you can get rid of it now in 3 minutes. That's all it takes with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Yes, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes with Fitch, quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. What's more, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Just apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes, with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. At the same time, gentle Fitch can leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
Glass of rye, bartender.
Yes, sir. There you are. Come in on the stage.
Yeah.
Figure to stay a while in Brotherton?
No, as soon as they get that axle fixed, I'm going on to Tucson.
Where are you from?
San Francisco.
Great little town, Frisco.
Yeah. Noisy in Brotherton. What's going on?
Well, now, wait till I get around there. We'll just go have a look-see.
Rewind here, Injun. We told you it was going
to
happen.
Now, you listen to me. You get rid of every head of that disease stock on your place, Injun. Or we'll do more than keep you within your boundaries. We'll burn you out. House, hide, and hair.
I guess it ain't nothing. Might as well go back and finish your drink.
He shot that Indian's horse.
Now, you take that carcass away and burn it. There's sickness enough without you savages bringing in more. Come on, Peavy.
Who are those men?
The one on the big roan's McNally. The other's Peavy, his foreman.
And the Indian?
Joe Whitehorse. He's got a little ranch, borders on McNally's spread.
I see.
He's an educated Indian. They're the worst kind.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Why did he kill his horse? Rough him up like that?
I don't know. It ain't my problem, mister.
Where's the livery stable?
North end of town.
White Horse?
Yes?
My name is Paladin. This is my card.
Have gun, will travel. I see. Thank you, Mr. Paladin.
Not interested?
If I had money to hire you, I wouldn't be hiking 20 miles carrying this saddle. I would have another horse.
I happen to be going your way. Why don't you put your saddle over this other horse of mine? No obligation.
It is right to tell you, even if I had money, I would not hire you. I don't hold with men who follow the gun.
I agree, Mr. Whitehorse. It's not a practical business, but 20 miles is a long walk.
And this is a heavy saddle. I accept your kind offer, Mr. Paladin. 150 prime, healthy cows. Now 10 are dead. The rest ready to fall. They keep losing weight, dying.
Has a veterinary looked at them?
I can't get him to come out and look. I am a mission Indian, educated Indian. I have few friends among my own people and fewer among yours.
Yes, I saw an example of that back there in Brotherton.
They don't want me in that town. I can't trade in the stores. I buy supplies through the man who runs the pharmacy. The only one who will admit that we are human. Wait, rein up, Mr. Paladin. There. There ahead. My land.
Looks like land a man would fight for.
I paid for that land. I'm willing to fight. I don't know how. My father wore feathers in his hair. He lived in a tepee. He was at war with a white man, fighting for his way of life. When he saw he could never win, it broke his spirit, but it made him wiser. He sent me to the mission school, learned to live and think like a white man. He said that was the only way we could have a home in our land.
Three riders. You know who it is?
Wade. Peavy and two of his hands. The one who killed my horse.
Yeah.
So you got yourself another horse.
The one you shot cost me $40. You have to pay me for that.
You? You friends with him or just passing through?
You ask that like a man hoping for the wrong answer.
You working for an Indian?
He hasn't hired me yet.
You're half a mile from his boundary line. You aim to keep going?
I thought I might.
It ain't that simple, mister. You can ride in on that horse, but you try to ride out and he'll go down with a slug in his head. No animal comes off on that ranch. Yours or nobody's.
Mr. Paladin, he means what he says. You saw that in town. You're going to lose two good horses. I'll walk the rest of the way.
You'll ride. You've used my horse for 15 miles, and I expect the man who's done that to rub him down and ask me to sit at the table.
You will be most welcome.
All right, then. Ride on in. But you'll be sorry.
I was a teenage James. That's right, I was a teenage James, living in a lovely scratch on the tile bathroom floor. I came in on a saddle chew, and then I moved to the floor. There were millions of us, James, playing rock around the sink or hiding in fact. My hostess was a wonderful woman. Every week she'd splash all around us with nice warm soap and water. But then some rat squealed to her about Lysol, and we had to beat it. Lysol kills James. It was murder.
Yes, if you're a germ, you'll hate Lysol, because Lysol kills disease germs, many deadly viruses, too. Lysol also destroys bathroom odors. Cleaning every week with Lysol in the suds disinfects your bathroom from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can. A little Lysol brand disinfectant in the suds makes your favorite cleaners work better, including many that claim to sanitize. Lysol is now available in regular or pine fragrance, as little as 29 cents.
We're looking for a new bathroom to live in. How about yours?
More coffee?
Oh, yes. Please, Mrs. Whitehorse.
So, you are a gunfighter, Mr. Paladin.
Well, Mrs. Whitehorse, I have a certain talent with weapons. When people in trouble need such a talent, I hire it out to them.
I see. Is a gunfighter expensive, Mr. Paladin?
I have expensive tastes.
Joseph, I like my home. I want to stay here. I think all we need right now is time.
Every day more stock dying? Quarantine around me, that means I must sneak off my own land
but
like a
thief? But with time, Joseph, we can find out what is sickening our cattle. We can build a healthy herd. Joseph, if Mr. Paladin can scare them into leaving us alone...
I will not have that kind of thing, Martha.
But we must do something. Mr. Paladin, we do not have any money to pay you. But this is rich land. We will give you a part of it, if you will fight for your part and for ours.
I'll talk with these men. In the meantime, thanks for your hospitality.
It was our pleasure.
I'll walk out with you. Take care, Mr. Paladin. McNally is a violent man. You told Peavy he'd have to pay you for that horse he shot. I don't mind taking over the debt. I'll trade you the horse you came home on.
Ah, that's a good horse. You cheat yourself.
Well, maybe I'll get Peavy to throw in something else of value.
Mr. Paladin. Well, perhaps you won't understand. Men differ.
What do you mean?
When I walk out of my house onto my own land, gives me a good feeling. I love this place. It has given me pain, but there is something. This is mine. This handful of earth here. This is mine.
Certainly. It's just like a... Wait.
Hmm?
Your handful of earth there. Where? Here. Put in this handkerchief. Here, in the handkerchief. Good.
I don't understand. Strange man, Mr. Paladin.
That's right, and I've just had a strange notion. I'll see you again, Mr. Whitehorse. At the boundary of the White Horse Ranch, I dismounted to close the fence gate. The first rifle shot came high to my right. The second shot killed my horse. Both of them had come from somewhere in the brush behind me. I had an idea who had fired them, and I had the score to settle with.
Sure looks like you're afoot, don't it?
You did that shooting?
It's his Indian boundary.
That's a bad habit you have, Peavy, killing horses.
I warned you.
I remember. Now I'll use your horse to take me into town.
You lay a finger on that bridle, you Indian. Look!
You can tell McNally what happened. He'll find me in town. Is this the only pharmacy in town?
Oh, yes. My name's Reinhardt. What can I do for you?
You know the White Horses.
Oh, you mean our thieving, scalping, overeducated local Indian. I do. Oh, and before you say your piece, let me inform you that this is the only store in town that'll do business with them. And proud to say it. Now, what's on your mind?
Are you set up to make a chemical analysis, Mr. Reinhardt?
Chemical analysis? Son, I've got the most complete laboratory south of San Francisco, back there just gathering dust. Where's there a place for science in a town where they bury a chicken head by the light of the moon to get rid of warts? Let me tell you something, mister. McNally, he tells the citizens how to think. And speaking of the devil.
McNally? He's probably looking for me.
Oh, what for?
Here, take this.
What in tarnation do you want me to do with a clod of dirt?
Now, we're only supposing, Mr. Reinhardt. Run a test on this, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, but it don't make any sense.
Gentlemen.
You pistol-whipped my foreman, steal his horse?
I disciplined your foreman, Mr. McNally. As to the horse, Peavy owed Joe Whitehorse for the one he shot. I took over the debt and settled it.
You working for Whitehorse? Kind of men are we breeding that takes wages from an engine?
I couldn't get a dollar out of him. He doesn't have one, that's why I'm here.
If you're not with the engine, what's on your mind?
I want to be hired.
We're doing all right.
You're wasting your time trying to starve Whitehorse out.
You don't have to starve. I offered to buy his place.
At a profit?
I offered him $10,000.
Why are you so anxious to own his land?
His land's good, and there's water, and I don't aim to raise my children next to some savage. Besides, he's aiming to let that cattle sickness spread over the whole range, wipe us all out on account of he hates us so.
Perhaps I can persuade him to sell.
How?
His willingness will increase in ratio to the size of my fee. How willing do you want him to be?
All right, you're hired. Get on out to his place.
First, you go to the bank and draw some money. I think White Horse would want to be paid off in cash.
That's a lot to trust you with.
Well, then you carry it. And carry an additional $2,000, Mr. McNally. My fee.
$2,000? How much money you think I have?
How much do you hate Indians? I have some business in the pharmacy here. Then I'll see you at the White Horse Ranch.
There's a big change going on, an important one for car buyers. It's the countrywide change to Rambler. Passing car after car in sales, Rambler now leads all but two other makes in state after state. What does it all mean? That Rambler has what people want and cannot get in other cars. Rambler is the quality compact car. For instance, Rambler has plenty of hat room, shoulder room, and leg room for six big people. Yet Rambler is so trim on the outside, it handles and parks with the greatest ease. For first cost, gas economy, and resale value, Rambler is America's top economy car. Yet only Rambler offers the fine features of personalized comfort. There are front seats that glide back and forward separately to perfectly fit short legs or long, adjustable headrests, airliner reclining seats, twin travel beds, finest air conditioning at lowest cost. Throughout, Rambler engineering is more advanced, Rambler workmanship more careful. Come in and drive the quality compact car Rambler. See your Rambler dealer.
He's waiting outside there, Mr. Whitehorse. You've already overtaxed his patience.
You didn't understand me, Mr. Paladin. I won't sell.
You can do a lot with that cash.
I won't be pushed off my land. I stay here.
I told McNally you'd sell.
Then you tell him you were mistaken.
And lose my fee.
Why do you ask my husband to do this thing?
Because it's my considered opinion he should sell to McNally.
And if it is not my opinion, if I say I stand up to that gun of yours...
I think that would make everything very uncomfortable.
We ask only to live in peace, to have a home to build for ourselves and for those who come after, and you... You are no better than the other.
Marco should not have done that, no matter what. Forgive her, Mr. Paladin. Martha carries our first child. She is upset.
What kind of a world have we to offer our child? Sign it, Joseph. Sign the paper. Here is ink, a pen. Give them their bill of sale. We will find some place to live in peace.
Yeah. You have earned your money.
I'll tell McNally he can come in and take possession.
Mr. Paladin, one day you will meet a gun faster than yours.
That's probably true, Mrs. Whitehorse. All right, McNally.
All set, huh?
All set.
Yeah, I got no respect for critters, knows he ain't wanted, but hangs on anyway. In the old days, he'd be long gone by now.
You've made your point, Mr. McNally.
Here is your bill of sale, McNally. It is your ranch now.
And you got the money? That does it.
Not quite. Let's not forget $2,000.
Oh, sure. See me in town.
I see you now, McNally.
Oh. Oh, well. Yeah.
Thank you.
White Horse, learn something from his business. You Indians have reputation all over the country. That's where you belong.
Mr. McNally is a man of deep prejudices.
And not soft about him, neither.
Ooh, anything but soft. If it hadn't been for your sickly stock, he'd have found another reason to starve you out.
He did not starve us out. It was your gun that drove us off our land.
My gun did you a favor, Mrs. Whitehorse. This land is useless. It's poison. Don't try to pasture cows here, McNally. They'll die.
I'll get rid of that disease. I'll burn everything down to the dirt.
But you can't burn the dirt, and that's where the poison is.
You're crazy.
I had the soil analyzed. It contains a certain element that affects all vegetation. It's called molybdenum if you want to investigate it.
On my land?
McNally's land. I remember that I'd seen this cattle sickness once before down on the San Joaquin Range.
So you knew this?
Suspected it. Mr. Reinhardt verified it.
If this is true...
It's true.
But then I cannot keep this money.
Oh, yes, you can.
You dirty lying cheat.
Good day, Mr. McNally.
Indian lover.
Mr. Paladin.
I'm sorry I had to do it this way, but it's difficult to conspire with an honest man. Mrs. Whitehorse, I want to leave this fee for Mr. McNally as a gift for your child who is yet to be born.
That is a great deal of money, Mr. Paladin. I cannot take it.
Oh, please accept it. For your child, with my apologies for this imperfect world we have to offer him, and my hopes for a better one in his lifetime.
Thank you, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, welcome.
Hello, hey boy.
Did you serve the most unworthy but very rich Mr. Potts?
No, I was delayed, and when I got to Tucson, Mr. Potts was dead. His wife shot him.
Oh, then you don't make lots of money. Your whole trip be wasted, eh? Too bad.
Not at all, hey boy. On the contrary, I found it quite rewarding.
Oh, you have someone wait for you upstairs in room.
Oh, well now.
Yes, sir. Major John B. Culpepper. It's Thursday. Remember?
Have gun. Will travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Herb Meadow and adapted for radio by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Lillian Byam, Joseph Kearns, Edgar Barrier, and Barney Phillips. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour. In between now and then, you can find more from the series you heard today, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button at relicradio.com. If you enjoy this and all the podcasts and would like to donate, click on the button on the website. You'll find some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts and the buttons to click if you'd like to donate. Thanks, as always, to those who have. And thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again soon with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.